Welcome to AP That's It, where we share our experience as first-generation Haitian American through our perspective on our culture while creating a safe space. I be Lisa Fania.
I'm Soraya. I almost forgot my line.
So it's really funny, like last week when we did that, it took a while for you to say, I'm Soraya.
Because I was doing the same thing. I was just rereading the content that I was in another world. But I'm back. I'm here.
So, Soraya, this is for real. Sak pase. I haven't like seen you in like almost a week.
It's been a week. Yeah, it's been a week of just changes, transitions, just getting ready for the new things happening. I'm employed currently.
Whoop whoop.
Yeah, and I'm not taking it. I'm making it.
My crayon sucks, so I'm trying.
It's so good. It's good. It's gotten much better. Yeah. You know, kind of just moving and grooving and trying to make sure that we out here doing what we need to do. To keep doing what we've been doing. That's a very vague description, and I want to keep it that way.
Fair.
Sac passe with you, Lisa.
Sac passe. What's going on with me? You know what? I'm going to say what took place this past week, because you haven't heard it, and it's really insane. So right now I'm good. I went to the beach on Sunday just to like be by myself because I had a really rough 3 days, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There was like rough days. So really, really quick. So we can talk about it later or right now, whatever it is, but I'm just going to say really quickly because they're really insane. So Thursday I had a meeting.
You're like... intro is killing.
I'm gonna tell you what they are because you're gonna be like, what the fuck? All right. So Thursday I had a meeting which was like outside of Wynwood, and when I got there first before anybody else got there, and I saw these people like videotaping in front of these walls, like graffiti walls, really brilliant. And they're doing like this like dancing and whatnot, and it was like a parody, and the guy was dressed in blackface, and I'm sitting here like, I'm so sorry, no, this is not real. And I'm looking and I was like, this is not real. And they're basically doing like a parody of like hip hop artists. So it's like these Spanish people doing a parody of hip hop artists in blackface. So then I called my associate because I was just like, I don't know who else to call, but this is what's happening in my life right now. I don't know what's going on. And she's like, you're lying. And I go,
why didn't you videotape them videotaping the thing and make it go viral, Lisa? That's what you're supposed to be doing out here.
Is that because I didn't know
are the exact things that we should be using social media
for. So for real, like in that moment, I've never experienced anything like that. Like any like blatant form of racism in my face. Mm-hmm. So I really just like froze and I did not know what to do. Like I was just like really scared and I just did not know what to do. So by the time my meeting started, and so anybody else could see, like, so the person that like owned the land, I was going to tell her, I was like, hey, like, look, there's these people on your land doing this thing. They left. They completely like left and disappeared. So I just went, I just drank and did some libations to get rid of whatever that was, because the woman took us for drinks after our meeting. And I was like, all right, cool. That's where I'm at. Friday. What took place on Friday? Friday, I had a photo shoot for something with work. And the person that worked at the location, so not the person that we're part of or anything part of like our team or anything like that. I got verbally sexually harassed. And I was like, all right, cool. That's what's going on. And then Saturday,
what was your reaction to that?
I walked away. So I was with, it was me and another black girl. And when he said it, she was just like, all right, it's my time to go. And I was like, yeah, me too. Let me walk you out. So like we walked out because he was like super, like he was at his workplace, but he was super drunk. And I guess it was like the end of the day. So he just kept drinking and he just really wanted me in some form, some sexual way. And me and her just like walked away. And
but what did you, like, you didn't say anything to him?
I said, oh, okay. And then no, thank you. And then I walked away. Like I legit walked away. But then he kept like kind of following us, and he had like an actual, like he was drunk and he had like a physical like tool in his hand. So we just were trying to like walk away from that. So finally, like, that walked away, and I realized that, like, you know, nobody was really, like, having my back, and so I just eventually, like, had to leave. No, I lied. The artist there, I told her what took place, and she was just, like, really trying to, like, change the subject and, like, really just, like, calm me down, but just, like, change where my mindset was, because I was so uncomfortable, and I was just, like, I don't want to be here anymore. And then on Saturday, where I told you I was going to go to the garden and all that, the garden was closed, but me and my little cousin were able to go to a park. And when we were at the park, an old friend, Brandon, like, was just randomly there. And we had a really short conversation. And then he then told me that a friend that I knew from high school, passed away last week in a car accident. And I was just like, what is happening?
Wow.
So I just really want to say to the families of, like, Kim Rivers Jr., just my condolences. Like, he was a special place in my heart. I can only think of, like, positive things that he just gave me, and his light and his spirit, and just want to wish him his beautiful light to continue to just surround us, protect us, and guide us through the rest of this journey as humans during the spiritual journey. That is what's been going on with me.
I hear you. That's a lot. That's a lot to deal with. And you kind of, I also heard that you had some outlets. You took yourself to the beach.
I took myself to the beach.
Nudie beach.
I went to the nude beach and just sat in the sun, though it was quite windy.
It was windy, but I mean, I guess the best way to get the most sun would be nude. So
it would be, yeah. So I was able to do maybe like a good like 45 minutes. But other than that, like, my sweats and my jacket, though I didn't like put like my, like, all my clothes on, I just was just like, oh, it's a little chilly. Let's just, you know, cover myself a little bit. But I got a good amount of sun. I wanted to go into the water, but it was so cold. And it was like, I don't know if it was like high. It was really high tide. It was really great for surfing. If you were a surfer or a body surf, what is the bodyboarder or like the kite surfing? That's the one that people were doing. It was a great day for that.
Yeah.
Oh, Soraya.
Yes.
There was this fine
with a capital F.
Fine. So it was funny because he was sitting maybe like 10 feet away from him, so I kind of saw him, but like, he was doing his thing and I was doing my thing, and I guess he was just like, you know, because he knew how fine he was.
Always.
And he was like walking, and it wasn't like the other stories that I have. This man was just a dark chocolate, beautiful, like, black man. And I was on the phone with Lamar for most of the time. Oh, happy birthday, Lamar. Today's his birthday.
Happy birthday, Lamar. I did, yeah. On February 9th, March 9th, this was recorded. This will be released after that.
Your birthday.
So happy belated birthday.
So I was talking to him. And so we're talking. And then I was just like, this guy passes by. I'm like eating grapes. I'm legit like in my jacket. My boobs are out. In my sweatpants, and I'm just like in my like full like natural beautiful form, just eating some grapes, and this beautiful man passed by, and I see him, and I'm like, I'm gonna look at you, like, I'm gonna look you in the eye. And so I look him in the eye, and he goes hello. And I was like, hello, how are you? And he's like, good. And then he just keeps walking by, and I was just like, hey God, you know, it was a very rough few days, thank you for that just little gem that you gave me.
That was a nice little cherry on the top, I guess you'd say.
It was a nice
I'm not even going to try to think of a metaphor / analogy. I do want to say sorry for the weird stomach noises in the background that you might hear. The mic just happens to be right next to my stomach, making weird noises. So
you're digesting or you're hungry?
I'm digesting. I ate before recording because she's smart. Yeah, that sounds intense, but I mean, what would it? It's Lisa. In terms of dealing with that, the sexual, well, first black thing face was sexual. The blackface. I've had a similar incident.
Have you?
I've had two major incidences.
I remember the work one, the one with the map.
They're both at work. There was the map one, and then there was, which I can't even recall the full details of that. I feel like trauma just block it out.
I just remember that they were like showing what you explained. What I remember is that you were explaining they were wanted to do like where they were developing.
It was like the slave owner map.
Yeah.
Is what like they ended up putting up.
Yeah. Instead of like some current development of what they were developing, they put like slave as a joke.
I don't know if it was a joke. I literally think it was an accident. I don't know. I want to believe the benefit of that. I don't recall that happening. That was my first year working in Virginia. And then when I was working in Miami, which I'm working in Miami now, it happened again. But this was, it was blackface, literal blackface. There's a guy named Ben. He decided to graphically put his face on Ben's rice, Uncle Ben's rice logo, and put his face where Ben's face is. Well, Uncle Ben's rice is already an issue. Put Ben's face and then colored it like Uncle Ben's face. Blackface to the 10th degree. And they put it on, it was Christmas time, and they put it on the Christmas tree. I wish I had taken a picture.
Yes.
And I was like, is this? And I asked, no, those were the times where I was like, is this happening? So I definitely spoke to people about it. And then I didn't speak to HR. HR did get heat of it through other ways. But I know the people I spoke to the people around me. I questioned it. I said in what ways it was wrong. They obviously didn't think so because they were entertained. And I just it exposed me to either the ignorance of, you know, of them, of those people, or it just tells me what kind of people I'm dealing with. So when people are doing those things, sexual harassment, like you did, you removed yourself from the situation, which is good. 'Cause you never know what that could have turned into, and you don't want to know. So you controlled yourself in that situation and removed. And you definitely, you have options, you know. You could choose to talk about it and say, I will not work in this environment if this is how you're going to react. If it happened, you can wait till it happens again. So it's two instances. Like, I don't know, you know, it's kind of like, what is your limit? Unfortunately,
what is your limit? And
I was as like, black and females,
nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah, it's just harder for someone to believe us or to care. So welcome to the corporate world. I mean, you were just walking in Wynwood and saw that, so bet. Let's go ahead and introduce our topic today with a lot of heavy stuff. My brain is a little... So Lisa mentioned Black respectability politics is what we're going to be talking about, and specifically using the Crown as an example kind of brings you into what is acceptable and what isn't. It's basically anything with politics, right? Mm-hmm. Anything with some sort of power involved.
So we can talk about the Wikipedia definition is respectability politics, or the politics of respectability, is a form of moralistic discourse used by some prominent figures, leaders, or academics who are members of various marginalized groups. Meaning, if you're on the top of your game, or you're the top member of a certain organization or group or leadership, you have some rules that you have to abide by.
Right.
And when you're maneuvering through that space in that world.
Right. And specifically to that Black respectability politics, and our source is Wikipedia, very reliable. It was saying that politics of respectability was first used in the context of Black women and their efforts to distance themselves from stereotypical and disrespected aspects of their communities. So just reading that one line just really breaks it all the way down to at least my realm. I'm a Black woman. Lisa's a Black woman. So we can speak to our experience.
How about me? You know, I'm too loud. Why am I talking this way? Those are the two biggest things that I've gotten throughout my years.
Over-sexualized from the get-go.
Yeah. But those two things, being too loud, was always my experience, especially within the Haitian culture, especially within my family. It's just like, why are you so loud? And I remember there's this one part where there's this Black Haitian woman that I remember to this day, which did not like to be around me because she was more of a high-end Haitian. So she was part of like the bougie Haitians, the, you know, the high cultured, like came from money or was married into money, Haitian. And she started to not like me hanging around them because I was just like, I remember one day I was either too drunk or something like that. She's like, why is she so loud? Like in this, like really like just a disgusted way. And so to this day, I just don't even notice this person. Because I'm just like, all right, girl, like, you know, I really hope that you're happy in your life. And I just wish you the best. Because it's like, no, this is who I am. There are moments that, yes, I can be super loud because I'm really excited. And other times where I can be just as calm and peaceful. And, you know, my Hotep mystical self, Lisa. Well, I'm not going to claim the Hotep, but the mystical self, Lisa. But that's always been my experience, especially within my family. It was just like, don't show your titties. Don't wear this. Don't be too loud. Why are you talking like that? You don't want to be one of those African Americans. Like all of these different things that took place. Like, you know, you need to position yourself into a proper way. You need to present yourself better so that the white people can, you know, treat you in better. You can go into higher places. How was your experience?
Right. I mean, I want to kind of go into that a little bit more in terms of what are these judgments and these statements that you're hearing, where does that come from? And so basically, I don't want to read this exact definition, but it's whatever standards are deemed as normal, as deemed as most powerful, perfect, whoever's in the power position. Mm-hmm. And at this point in our lives, it is the closer you are to the white standards. And that's essentially what white supremacy, I would argue.
White psychosis.
White psychosis. Mm-hmm. Could be looked at. Hold on. I just wanted to look up this word to make sure. Yeah, the ruling or the dominant standard. And take that and then take the Black woman, which I learned in my sociology class when I was in school, that the Black woman is the lowest on the totem pole for the most part. There's probably more in between, below, whatever, but the totem pole is created by white supremacy. So in this context, we are striving and changing and adapting to try to get closer to the top of the totem pole, which is essentially white male to a degree. So being too loud or being too aggressive or assertive,
not speaking as proper English,
right, isn't what is deemed acceptable. Be the most, yeah, the most acceptable, most dominant, most ruling social standards that we have in our society today. It's politeness, manners, dress conservatively, carry yourself this way. And that has basically been adopted and sowed within the way society has worked forever. And
so many different cultures, because it's like, we can talk about the Haitian American experience, but this is like, white psychosis is intertwined in so many different cultures. So like, I did read about Latinx women and how they come off sexual and they have to be, or that's what society has presented them to be. And so they have to like avoid being that so that they're not deemed the stereotype of respectability of like overly sexual. Or as a Black woman, us being like wearing, it's been fascinating. So I've been watching this really crappy show, which I don't want to name, but these clothes that these white women, these skinny petite white women are wearing, if it's put on a figure that's more curvaceous or has a little bit more meat and curves and things on them, it's more sexualized compared to what they're wearing. And I'm like looking at what these little girls, the white girls are wearing, and I'm just like, first of all, you're supposed to be portraying an 18, 19 year old wearing this like short, low cleavage shirt, but this is okay because you're a white woman wearing this. This is very fascinating. But if a black woman, like I wanted to mention Chloe Bailey, because that her and Lori Harvey have been named in like respectability politics as women, because they're experiencing being in their 20s and living their lives in their 20s, but they're not allowed to be that way. They're not allowed to express their sexuality because of who they are in the public figure that they are. Like they can't express or experience who they are, and that the notion of as a human being, you do have a form of sexuality that you want to express in any manner. But but then DaBaby is out here dating a girl who is claiming that she's Dominican, or at the time,
light skin Keisha or something like that?
Girl, I have no idea. I just know DaBaby. I don't know these women or the girls or anything like that. But she went off and said all these things, and he never got chastised for it. It was always like these women that got chastised, but like DaBaby can't do no wrong. He can be with whoever he wants, and then like be disrespectful to a person that he was with, who is a dark-skinned black woman, but never be chastised on respectability of just like how he's treating the mother of his child compared to all these women that he's coming across. Like there's always this, like, as a woman, like you're saying, since black women are on the lowest portion on the totem pole, like we're always disrespected the most. We're always like, or we're disrespected or we're expected at this like highest quality of caliber the most, where like, and for me and my experience this past week, I felt like nobody gave a fuck because, oh no, like you should expect to be this way because you're sexualized. Girl, I was wearing a button down shirt and some high-waisted jeans, and I was in the sense of respectability politics, I came according to that narrative, mm-hmm. but I was still overtly sexualized.
Right.
So no matter what we do, no matter how we play it, no matter what it is, like it's always going to be this white psychosis that takes place until like somebody wants to learn and like disenfranchise from that notion.
I agree. The end. No, it's just you can find examples of this in everything. Like you said, the way we dress ourselves, whether it be you're trying to avoid certain responses from others, so you dress a certain way, you speak a certain way, you do certain things, your mannerisms are a certain way. It all is affected by what is viewed as the standard behavior. And I think we are progressing past it, but it's still loud. I think bringing the Chloe Bailey topic up, she's getting so much backlash for her pictures and her modeling. And what is interesting to me is, I don't know if they just expect her to cover up and model, or do they not want her? Like, how would you have this girl not, like, if she's going to model this leotard that exists, how would she model it in a way that is acceptable to you? The problem that you have is not with what she's doing. You have a problem with her.
Correct.
Her actual being.
Her curves, her like her being a black. Yeah. And it's really fascinating because like even in that sense of Chloe Bailey, I remember Christina Aguilera went through the same thing. and I'm not comparing this Black woman or this white woman. It's just like, as women in general, when you're coming from this like young woman into an actual woman, you can't express your sexuality, and you have
to even from proper. Before it doesn't even that all that stuff starts when you're young, when you're learning about mm-hmm. what that even means. And if it's constantly shamed and deemed as not acceptable, mm-hmm. okay, so what do you do with that? Like, that is a part of you. So is that part of me not acceptable? Am I not acceptable? It all kind of just rolls. And this is part of the trauma that, you know, we all have to different degrees, depending on other respectability politic groups that you might fall into. But yeah, I mean, this could be a freaking 10 episode
like series
topic
of just, like,
because it's so much. And I feel like the Haitian culture itself definitely exhibits this Black respectability politics, in that it promotes it, promulgates it. New word.
Say it again. When you said, I was like, I don't know how to say that word. That
I think it's promulgate. I say it like Colgate, promulgate.
Mm-hmm.
I think promulgate. You should definitely look it up and have the woman in the little sound. You click that little sound thing and it will pronounce for you. Make sure you do that before you go out saying this. I just recorded on a podcast. It's cool. It takes unlearning, because we have to see that it's okay, because I wasn't okay with myself at the way I was, because you get it in schools where you're not supposed to show your shoulders because it's sexualized and whatever. Like, the hell? Boys have shoulders. Like, what are you telling me?
Your décolletage. You're not supposed to show your décolletage either.
Yeah, and you're not even, like, you're not even a fully mature kid yet. You're getting these messages from however old because of other people not able to accept you as a being. Like, that's too much to handle. I can see her knees. I can't handle it. I can't focus.
Yeah.
So,
because you have to, like, as with respectability politics when it comes to women, we have to cover up for a man so that they can't control their sexual
their parts.
Yeah.
Their parts.
But we teach men that it's okay to do that, which is fascinating. Like, it's, you teach young men that's okay to, like, look but not touch. But women,
there's some men who are taught other things. There, it's more emphasized for women to control themselves than it is for men to. I think that's very definitely much so. Coming out in the air, and mm-hmm. hopefully it's changing. I don't know. I'm not a part of that generation. It's just interesting, because till this day, I'll still get the feedback in terms of my hair, if my hair is not done a certain way. I think I had an interview or something, and I had my hair silk wrap on, but I was dressed. My mom's like, "You're not going out like that, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, what's wrong? What's up?" And she's like, no, you're not going out like that. Your hair, you're just flattening it. And I was just like, whatever you want to tell yourself for you to accept this, go ahead. Granted, yes, I was just flattening it and I was going to take it off. But the fact that it flustered her so much in order, because why can't, I'm not saying that this is a thing, but like the other day, my boyfriend went out in his durag and I was just like, yes. Like, I'm not going to go out in my bonnet just because I don't want to. And I don't think I look good in my bonnet, but like, why can't we just normalize these behaviors that it is that we naturally do, instead of trying to put on this facade in order to be accepted by others, which WandaVision.
Great fact. Because for me, as a plus size woman, that's really hard. Like, I can't wear certain like things because I'm going to look that like, oh girl, like your belly is showing. But we allow men with bellies to walk naked, or
men with bellies,
speedos, all through the beach.
I'm not going to say we allow it. We don't not allow people to do it. Now you can do it. You just get a bunch of feedback. So I feel like the takeaway would just be to normalize the behaviors that aren't seen. Normalize how you feel comfortable. Granted, there are certain mannerisms that happen at a social setting in order for it to be, you know, a good place for everyone. As long as you're not harming or hurting someone. I think that's literally the mantra that I got from one of those self-improvement books. I think it's 7 Effective Habits. And it was like, have a mantra. And that's how you can make your decisions. And it's like, as long as I'm not harming or hurting anyone, I'm going to do what I want to do kind of thing. So that can be taken into whatever it is. Like, my hair is not harming or hurting anyone. It shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. But it does.
It's on my head.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a way that I can, like, that's out of my control. You know, so much is in my control. So, because if I change it for them, I'm harming and hurting myself, which I've been doing. So, yeah, I think it's time to normalize.
It's funny. I know we're not supposed to talk about him, but Jay-Z has evolved his hair into, like, respectable, like, politics to, like, you know what? This is naturally how my hair, I'm allowing my
locks, his freeform locks.
His freeform locks to that, and not like where he is and how he's approaching these business meetings with these high powered white men. He, in a sense, when it comes to his hair, I don't know how he's dressing, but when it comes to his hair, he's not doing the respectable politics in that. He's choosing to be his full blackness. In that sense, when it comes to his hair, I don't know about his politics. I don't know how he moves in business. So I can't speak on that. But when it comes to, like, how he's presenting himself with his physical
appearance
that is coming through his natural body. I don't know what he's wearing, but that.
Right, like, he was doing the suits and the sneakers way before, you know. I mean, I'm sure people have done it, but, you know, he's true to that and.
But yeah, his hair is, it's this four locks that are coming out of his body, and it's expecting it. And I know that when I was doing a little bit of research, I know that it's coming from, like we spoke earlier, like the mannerism. So, like, for my takeaway is just, I don't know, because it seems that I feel like I'm reverting. Like, in the past, I really just didn't care. But now, being the space that I am going into, and I know the wisdom that I currently have,
I think it's a balance.
It's
a balance until you can find what works for you.
That's fair. It's fascinating because it's just knowing, like, where I've been, where I came from, where I'm at, and just allowing those, like, narratives to go away and just learning that I don't have to be, especially in the nonprofit that I'm working with now, I've been my full authentic self, and it's been magical, and people have accepted me, and people in the community, like, community members have accepted me for me being who I truly am and not coming off of, like, oh, I'm this, like, bougie black woman that is coming to impose onto certain neighborhoods. It's like, no, I know where I come from. I understand where I came from, but this is what I'm giving you, and this is who I am. And I know I need to work on my fashion. I'm never going to negate that. But I was talking to, like, my associate, and I was just like, hey, I would love to go Goodwill shopping with you and my cousin, because I just, you know, would learn to love my fashion, because it is a little bit harder for a plus size woman to go through thrift shopping compared to, like, a petite woman. But yeah, just, well, like,
check it out like this too. You don't know the petite woman experience, and I don't know the larger woman's experience. So the petite woman, I have my own difficulties with things.
That's fair. That.
Yeah.
But going to thrift shopping, you are able to find more quality, better.
I literally wear oversized clothing. You think that's for fun? I mean, it's comfortable as the F, and I've accepted it. But I've always had to either size up, because all of the small sizes are gone. Because apparently everyone is a small, but they're not.
They are
not. It's not.
my associate, she's a petite woman like you. And so she's like, yeah, it is a little like her best friend just going shopping and thrifting with her. She's like, yeah, I have noticed that it's a little difficult to find like things. Cause I went to a meeting and I was like, I thrifted. And I was like, this is all from men's section. And I just like composed it to my body.
Like, yeah, there's really cool like videos on how to like modify your thrift items to your body type. Mm-hmm. So there's this girl who she'll buy like skirts and then she'll like raise one end of it with a string. Mm-hmm. So it's like this really nice floral skirt with a high slit kind of thing.
When you have and a chance, like, send it to me, please.
Okay. I saw this on a thing. Now I have to go find it. I should have.
You didn't save it?
It's just, no, because I was, you know, you see things and you're like, oh, that's clever. And technically, you end up styling it anyway yourself.
That's fair.
But yeah, she had some cool bits. If I find it, I'll definitely send it your way.
But I think for me, my takeaway, especially the fact of, I don't know, like going into this media thing and the social media and like really putting out your ideas, is being authentically yourself no matter what. Because in the space of us as human beings, we're always learning and we're always unlearning things that people have opposed upon us. And this Black respectability politics has been it's been imposed to us for centuries. So now unlearning this and just allowing ourselves to be loud, to be sexual, to be prim and proper, whomever you want to be that day, whoever you want to be in that moment, just allowing that to take place and flow through and just live unapologetically as possible, no matter what space that you may be in. That's my takeaway from this conversation.
Yeah, try to be as unapologetic as possible. I think that's the biggest thing. Whenever my sister will ask, like, oh, does this look weird? Or if you'll ask me, does this look weird? I was like, do you feel good in it? Do you like the way you look? Do you feel comfortable? Is this, you picked it out. You put it on your body. This is, as long as you feel good and you're not doubting yourself, then you're going to exude that as you walk into the rooms that you do. So yeah, just lean into your intentions and your intuition is what I meant to say. Your intuition more. And try not to live by those other narratives that are deemed as perfect or what society's, you know, standard is. I mean, and if you do and you enjoy that, that's your business, but don't
impose that onto
others. On other people. Exactly. Don't impose onto others. Is that part of the Ten Commandments? Probably not.
I don't even know what they are anymore.
Do unto others as you would like done unto you. Something like that. That's one that's always stuck to me. And I think that applies with everything. So, yeah, I think that's it, no?
Be that's it.
Be that's it. Be that's it, y'all.
Bye.